commence the services this morning with prayer. And we're going to have a word of prayer because we have a little newborn baby with us, and we're thankful for that. And I always think it's good and right to acknowledge God's goodness in sparing the life of the mother and also granting a new birth. So let's commend this situation unto the Lord. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are thankful to be able to join together in thankfulness unto thee, the great God, who gives life. And we're thankful, Lord, that thou hast given life to Sarah and David and granted them a little baby boy, Malachi George. And we earnestly pray, gracious God, that thou wilt truly be gracious to the family and grant, Lord, that as thou hast spared Sarah's life and brought her safely through and granted the birth of little Malachi, we pray, Lord, that he may come to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We're thankful to know and to believe we have a God who rules and reigns, and that God who comes and touches hearts. And we pray in due time his heart may be touched and he may grow up to be a blessing to his parents and also a blessing to the church of God. Be with them then, we pray, and bless the family. And may we indeed all be able to truly come and render praise unto our God. So, Lord, accept our thanks for thy goodness and mercy, and be with us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing to God's praise hymn 247. 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn 247.
May it please God to bless the reading of his holy words to the profit of our souls this morning. Let's turn to the book of Ruth and read the first chapter. Ruth comes after Judges. So the book of Ruth in chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Oh, may God graciously instruct us from his holy word and help us to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, most blessed, eternal, ever gracious and holy Lord God, we come before that one believing, we come to that one who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And we pray, gracious God, that although thou art so great, we believe that thou dost condescend to look down upon us, and Lord, to hear our prayers, even at this time. And so, gracious God, may we come in faith, believing as we pray, and seeking that thou wilt hear our prayers, and thou wilt remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people, and visit our souls with thy salvation. Gracious and almighty God, we are thankful to know we have a God in heaven who rules and reigns, and a God who does hear and answer prayer. And we pray, therefore, gracious God, it could be thy good will and purpose to look upon us here as we've gathered together on another Lord's Day morning. And we pray that thy Holy Spirit may therefore be known and felt in each of our souls, so that we are numbered amongst those who are called the true worshippers, who worship God in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, that our gathering together today may not be in vain, but we pray, Lord, it may be a time of eternal profit for our eternal souls. Lord, let us not spend our time here thinking about the vanities of this world, but we pray, gracious God, thou wilt come and control our minds, control our thoughts, so that we truly concentrate on the great things of God, those eternal realities which so greatly concern every one of us, whether we realise it or not. And we pray, therefore, Lord God Almighty, thou wilt come and condescend to be in our midst. O Lord, we pray, therefore, that our hearts may be moved by thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, should there be rebellion in our hearts, may it be taken away. Should there be hardness in our hearts, may it be replaced with softness. And Lord, may we be here, sat before the Lord, waiting to hear thy voice. And we pray, gracious God, thou wilt thus come and remember us each with that favour thou bearest unto thy people. And Lord, come and visit our souls with thy salvation. So, Lord, we may have something to speak about, something to tell about, so that thy great name is honoured and glorified. Oh, Lord, we pray that would come then and possess us, possess our hearts and minds, Lord. We've brought our bodies into this place of worship, and Lord, we've done that. But Lord, we can't control our minds. But we know we have a God who can. And therefore we pray that thou wilt condescend to grant thy favour and grant thy blessing. Lord, help us to ever realise how good and kind and gracious God is. To think, O Lord, that we are found in this country, a country, Lord, where still we enjoy religious favours and religious liberties, freedom to come together to worship, freedom to read the Word of God, blessed with the Word of God in our own language. Oh Lord, these are great blessings. And Lord, so often we don't appreciate the wonderful favour that it is. But Lord, help us to truly be thankful in our very hearts for these great blessings. And Lord, we pray that would not pass us by, but Lord, that would come to us. We think, Lord, of that occasion in thy word when Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he climbed up that sycamore tree, and the Lord Jesus came exactly where he was and told him, "Today, I must abide at thy house." Gracious God, we pray that we also may be favoured with a gracious word from our God. For Lord, as we think of that account, we realise that it's not exactly where Zacchaeus was. And Lord, we know that thou dost know all about each one of us, exactly where we are. And Lord, we believe thou dost know exactly where we are in our natural life and also in our spiritual life. And therefore we pray, gracious God, that would come and visit our souls with thy salvation. Oh, we pray, Lord, that none of us may be left out of the secret, that secret of the Lord, which is with them that fear him. That blessed secret of knowing the Saviour as our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, to realising our need as lost and ruined sinners, and yet to find that glorious salvation through the sin-atoning merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, gracious God, we come and plead that thou would look upon us and remember us each then with that wonderful favour and that wonderful blessing. Lord, we give thanks for the word of God that we read, the account of Ruth. Lord, the amazing work of God, the sovereign grace of God so clearly displayed in that account. And Lord, we're thankful as we read such accounts to acknowledge that Ruth indeed was made willing in the day of thy power. And we pray, Lord, that we each in our lives may be made willing in the day of thy power, remembering thy word which directs us in love to take up our cross and to follow thee. Lord, let us not be amongst those who follow afar off, but Lord, may we truly desire to follow closely our great and glorious Saviour. And as we seek, Lord, thou wilt lead us into all truth as it is in Jesus. and we pray that he may be to us indeed the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. We pray there may be that which by thy grace we see in Christ, which is so much greater than all the poor things of this vain world. And so, gracious God, we earnestly pray thou wilt remember us for good. We're thankful, Lord, for thy goodness and mercy, which has indeed been with these people here, the church and the congregation, and Lord, continue to guide and direct them, and continue to bless them indeed. And Lord, may they grow together in love and union. And Lord, may they be able to earnestly pray one for another, to bear each other's burdens, to not be left to be self-centered, but to seek the prosperity of the things of God. Oh Lord, we pray that many from this village may be moved, and the surrounding area, to come and worship here. We're thankful, Lord, for the Bibles which are available freely outside this chapel, and we pray, Lord, that all those that have been taken by people that we know not, that, Lord, they may be read by the people, and they may be the means of wonderful conversions. Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to do this work. And Lord, may we each recognize and realize thy word speaks very clearly that ye are my witnesses. And therefore, Lord, let us not hide the truth. Let us not hide the great things of God. Lord, as thou hast wonderfully favored us to receive thy word, to read thy word. And we pray, Lord, it may be richly blessed to our souls. We pray it may not just be a book, but it may be God's book that speaks to our souls. And Lord, as we read it, may it be heavenly food, food and drink to our souls. Lord, may it be much, much more than just an historical account, but Lord, may it speak with power from on high, so that we receive that bread and water of life. Gracious God, thou art able to do these things, we know, and therefore we pray thou would appear and work mightily, Lord, to each one here and those in the village. Lord, nothing is too hard for thee. Lord, sometimes our faith is very low and very weak, but we know, Lord, we have a God who is able to do far more exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. So, Lord, although we live in a difficult age, a dark age, a sad age, yet, Lord, we know we come to a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do then come and strengthen our faith. We pray, Lord, then for the deacons who have the responsibility of the church here. We commend them to thee and pray that we'll continue to guide and direct and to bless them in all their work. And all the church members we pray for also, bless them indeed. And all the congregation we also pray for, bless them indeed. And bless the children, the babes, the children, the young people. Gracious God, be with them, especially as they're at school and then go perhaps to further education or start work, or whatever it may be. Be round about them, and may they never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we pray, gracious God, thou would indeed surround them with thy love, and may they know what it is that Peter said, kept by the power of God through grace unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And O Lord, we pray thy work may appear, thy work may continue to appear, so that thy name is honoured and glorified. Gracious God, we come and we pray for our nation. Lord, thou knowest the true situation. We only know what we're fed through the media, But Lord, thou knowest everything, and we pray, Lord, if it could be thy will, there may yet be a turning unto thee. Lord, we know if thou dost turn the hearts of men, they will be turned, because we know no one can resist the work of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, remember our nation. Oh, Lord, we do pray thou wilt have mercy. Lord, wilt not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. We pray for our Prime Minister, the Cabinet, the Government, the House of Lords, Lord. Lord, they are but men and women. And Lord, thou canst influence their hearts and minds to do those things which are right. And oh, we pray it may be so. We pray, Lord, for King Charles. We pray for the Queen. We pray for the Princess of Wales. We pray for the royal family, Lord. Be gracious to them. And Lord, as we think of the words that the King uttered at his coronation, we pray they may reverberate in his mind and heart and really have a good effect, that he may indeed be a real follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and not ashamed to confess his faith. Lord, we commend him to thee and pray that he and the Princess of Wales may be cured of their cancer, if it could be thy holy will, and if so, be able to give praise to God for deliverance. O Lord, we think of the persecuted church worldwide. O Lord, many suffer greatly, and we know very many do not enjoy the privileges that we have, and we pray for them. Support and strengthen them. Those who are caught up in war zones in the Ukraine, in Israel and other places, Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant thy mercy and grant thy favour and grant thy church in those places may be strengthened and sustained. And so, gracious God, we come to thee now. Lord, leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation, but visit our souls. We earnestly pray, get honour and glory to thy great and holy name. Forgive our every sin. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 996. 996. While the dear saints of God below travel this vale of sin and woe, there is a river through the road makes glad the city of our God. Hymn 996.
May it please Almighty God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his holy word. Let us turn to the book of Ruth and the first chapter, and we'll read verses 16, 17 and 18. The book of Ruth, chapter 1, reading verses 16, 17 and 18. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Well, I hope we're all thankful for the book of Ruth. It's not a long book, and it's a very simple book, and it's a very interesting book. And one thing that it sets before us very clearly is the sovereignty of Almighty God. And you might ask, really, what that means. You young people may wonder what the sovereignty of God is. Well, the word sovereign means, obviously, it has to do with the king. The king is a sovereign, and God is the King of Kings. So God indeed is a sovereign, and God has a perfect right to do what he likes with everyone. He is the King of Kings in the whole world, over everybody. Now, the great blessing in this account is that we see his sovereign as a king give to Ruth his grace. And his grace is unmerited favour. There were very many people, obviously, in Bethlehem, Judah, living there. And God saw fit to cause Elimelech to take his wife Naomi and the two sons Mahlon and Chilion and go into the country of Moab. Now, naturally speaking, that was not a good thing, because they were leaving a place where God clearly was and going to a place where God was not. And we see that God's sovereignty was brought about in this way. First of all, of course, Elimelech died. And then the sons married two women, Orpah and Ruth, and then in due time they died. And then Naomi determines to return to her native country of Bethlehem, Judah. And she encouraged the girls to go back to their own country, and Orpah went back. But Ruth remained with her. And we see then that this account shows us that all these things had to take place in order for God to speak to Ruth. He didn't call Elimelech or Mahlon or Chilion or Orpah, but in his great mercy, he called Ruth. And it's good for you and me to realize that we have a God who still works powerfully today and causes situations to come about, situations to develop for the conversion, for the saving of never-dying souls. And what a blessing it is if in our lives you and I can trace out God's hand upon us, God's leading us. You know, we read in the 107th Psalm, with regard to Israel, he led them about. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. It would be a great blessing for you and me if we know God's hand is upon us. We all need to know that God's hand is upon us. We all need to know that God is leading and directing us. Every one of us, the young, the children, the teenagers, the young people, the middle-aged people, the old people, we all need to know that God is leading us. And it would be a good thing if you can think in your own lives how God has led you. And perhaps you have to be honest and say you don't know whether God's led you. You've never been concerned about God leading you. Well, what a blessing then if God puts in your heart a desire to have the evidence that God is leading you. Because you and I are going through life. We'll come to the end of our life soon. And we'll need to know that God is leading us to that home of glory and not leaving us to drop into hell. Now it is the sovereign grace of God that brings these things about in our lives. And it's not something that you and I should ignore and pass over as irrelevant. You see, we're wonderfully privileged to be able to gather here together this morning. We mentioned in prayer, didn't we, about the privilege and the Bible that we have and all the many favours, and we should not recognise them as irrelevant. They are very relevant. And the most important thing in our life is to be found right with God. And that's to know that we are an unworthy and lost sinner, and that Jesus has looked upon us and had mercy upon us and has called us out of the darkness of nature into the glorious light of the gospel. Now that is the wonderful favour that we have of being able to come and to hear the gospel. And may it be used indeed for your and my eternal good. We don't want to come to the end of our journey. We don't want to think that we're all right when we're not all right. I'm often reminded of the account in Pilgrim's Progress when Ignorance, he travelled the journey, he'd gone along and he came to Heaven's Gate and he expected to enter in. The doorkeeper came and asked him for his certificate. And we're told he fumbled in his bosom. And really that means he pretended to look for something he hadn't got. Well, we need a certificate. And we need that certificate to show to us that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We need to know that through that glorious work of the Saviour, that all our sins are forever washed away. No unsaved, unforgiven sinner gets to heaven. And so may such a consideration be important to us, relevant to us, and that we each may be concerned to know that we are truly right with God. And to be right with God means that we have the evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend. He's our Saviour. He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our Almighty God. It's not just something which is a theory. It's something which is a reality. And if you know it, rejoice in it. Praise God for it. Acknowledge it. If you don't know it, seek after it earnestly. Pray unto God in a time when he may be found. Well, coming then to this account of Ruth. Ruth indeed, you see, was wonderfully favoured. God sought her out. In God's providence, she was married. In God's providence, her husband died. And we see that her mother-in-law was a gracious and a godly lady. It's a great blessing to have mother-in-laws who are gracious and favoured ladies to instruct their children, instruct their in-laws and direct them. Now, when it comes to the time when Naomi was determined to return to her own land. And she told the girls to go back to their own land, and Orpah went back and Ruth didn't. We're told Ruth clave unto her. That means she stuck close to her mother-in-law. Well, Naomi encouraged Ruth to go back to her own home. Return now after thy sister-in-law. And what was Ruth's response? That's what we read here this morning. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Well, we can recognize here that Naomi had very clearly spoken to Ruth about the things of God, and had spoken to Ruth about the things that she believed. And by the Holy Spirit, these truths had entered in to Ruth's heart, and they had moved her, and she realized that here was Naomi, somebody who did fear the true God, and therefore she wanted to be with her. She wanted to go with her. It's a wonderful lesson, isn't it, for all of us. As you and I live in this world, we are not to hide our religion. We meet many people, don't we? In our own families, in our workplace, people that don't know the Lord. Does it concern us? It should do. And if it does, are we willing to speak to them about the things of God? You know, it's very clear that Naomi spoke about the things of God to Ruth. And under the Spirit of God, they had an effect. What a mercy if you and I, in this day and age in which we live, are able to speak to our families, to our in-laws, to our friends, to the people we meet with about the things of God. Not easy. Not easy. I'll tell you why. The devil doesn't want you to speak. He never wants you to mention the name of the Saviour. He never wants to testify of your personal experience with God. But you see, as we remember in the book of Esther, Mordecai told her in that critical time when all the Jews were to be killed, he told her to go into the king and tell him the situation. And he said, perhaps you're here for such a time as this. We should not think that our lives are irrelevant. We should not think that we can sail through life without testifying of whom we serve and who we desire to honour and who we desire to glorify and to inform people that there is an end to our lives and that there is an eternity before us. And each one of us must spend an eternity either in heaven or in hell. My friends, what a blessing when God enables us to speak about these things. You'll need to pray about it. You'll need to pray that God will give you an opportunity, will give you an opening to speak. I remember the example of John Broome. I remember him telling us a long time ago now, because he was a school teacher, as you may well know. And he said when he prayed that Lord would give him an opportunity to speak about the things of God, it occurred. When he didn't, it didn't. And as you may know, in John Broome's school teaching life, there were many that were converted through his talk and the things that he was able to declare. Well, we shouldn't think, well, of course, he was in a privileged position. You and I are also in privileged positions. And we should never, therefore, be afraid. You see, our problem is, we're so often afraid of what people will think of us. It doesn't matter what people think of us. It does matter what God thinks of us. What do you think God thinks of you this morning? What do you think as you ponder your life? What do you think God thinks of you? Well, here was the example we have of Naomi to Ruth. And therefore, the effect it had upon Ruth was powerful. And she didn't want, therefore, to leave her. Here was, we can term it, a mother in Israel, Naomi. She declared to Ruth the things of God. She's spoken about the things of God. They'd entered into her heart. And therefore, having been told to return to her own country, she says, entreat me not to leave thee. She didn't want to leave Naomi. That's a really lovely statement, isn't it? Wonderful to see God's work. Well, I wonder whether that would be applicable in your life and my life. That such a person perhaps had such an attraction to what we've been able to say. They didn't want to leave us. They didn't want to go anywhere else. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Now, Naomi was going back to her own country. Ruth had no idea what that was like. Travel wasn't like it is today. It was a long walk to go back to her native country. And Ruth didn't know, therefore, physically what it was. She only knew that Naomi was going back there. And she knew that Naomi was going back there because God was there with the people. And therefore, she says, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." That's her request. And then she makes a grand statement. "For whither thou goest, I will go." What a blessing that is, isn't it? When our desire is to go with the people of God, to walk with them, to go to, putting it in our terms today, perhaps, the church that they worship at. "Whither I go, I will go." That was a very clear statement, wasn't it? It wasn't hedged. Didn't say, "Well, I'll see what it's like, and if I don't like it, I'll come back." No, she was moved by the Spirit of God. There was a holy determination. And it's good when God gives you and me a holy determination to not go away, but to return from following after thee. Wherever Naomi went, she was going. What a blessing if we desire to go and to be with the people of God. It was costly. Ruth was having to leave her home, her relatives, leave them. Not easy. But the power of the truth of God was such in her soul that she was made willing in the day of God's power. A great blessing for us if we are made willing in the day of God's power, and are able to come and say, "Whither thou goest, I will go. I will go. I want to be with you because you're worshipping the true Almighty God." She wanted to go with her. She wanted to live with her. She wanted to be with her. She didn't want to be, you know, with her own family. Didn't want to be with the people of the world in Moab. She wanted to go and to be with the people of God. "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." It really is summed up, isn't it, in that last statement, "and thy God, my God." What God do we worship? What God do you worship? I don't know. You see people come, they sit in chapel, they look all prim and proper, they wear the right clothes and they say the right things. I don't know whether you're following the true God. But what a blessing if you can come alongside Ruth as a wonderful example. That's what it's here in the Word of God for an example for us. And it's spoken really in powerful words. "Entreat me not." She didn't want to have words of encouragement to go that way, to go back. No, she wanted to go the right way. Do you and I want to go the right way? Do we want to go and be with the people of God? Do we want to live with the people of God? Do we want to rejoice with the people of God and be able to say, "Thy people shall be my people"? She never met them, but she realized they were godly people. Who do you and I want to be with? Do we want to be with the people of God? You know, the Word of God speaks these words. Being let go, they went to their own company. A few young people were told, "Well, you can do whatever you want to do. You can go and be with whoever you want to be with." What are you going to say? What are you going to say? You're going to say, like Ruth did, "I want to go and be with God's people." You see, if we get to heaven, we'll be with God's people. We won't be with anyone else. You won't want anyone else there. You'll only want God's people. And what a blessing, therefore, for us today to have this, we can term it a holy determination given by the blessed Spirit of God to be found in this situation. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Well, how do you respond to that question? Do you want to be with God's people, or do you think they're a boring lot? Do you think they don't do this and they don't do that, and you wouldn't want to be with them? Or do you see they're journeying to the heavenly land? Do you see they have a good prospect? Do you see by their conversation it's a heavenly conversation? Well, it was attractive to Ruth, and she is able to say, "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And I said to begin with, this is an example for you and me in the day and age in which we live, many years after Ruth, but yet the pattern is set before us. And it's good, isn't it, to have a pattern. And we should really thank God that he's given us a wonderful pattern, a wonderful example, and to test the reality of our religion. You see, true religion is not just formality. True religion is experiencing the life of God in our souls. It's experiencing fellowship with God's people. It's experiencing fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how the Apostle Paul greatly desired this, that he might know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, God looks at our hearts. No one else knows what's in your heart apart from you and God. But there's a very solemn consideration, isn't it? You see, you and I can pretend to be what we're not to other people, but you can't pretend to be what you're not to God. I've seen people pretend to be what they're not. I've seen people pretend to be Christians. I've seen people pretend to be believers. In reality, they're not. No, they want the world. They want the things of the world. They don't really want the things of God. They seem to just put on religion on a Sunday take it off again on a Monday. You see, you and I need to live. And it wouldn't be ashamed if the Lord came to our house. I sometimes think, I mention it in prayer, Zacchaeus is a very interesting little account, isn't it? But you see, that the Lord came and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. If Jesus came to you today and said, so-and-so, today I must abide at your house, you're going to say, oh, just a minute, I just better go home first and just about tidy up things, and I better hide that and take that away so it's not seen. Well, Zacchaeus didn't have to say that. You see, you and I need to live our lives like that. It's a blessing, isn't it? If we can, therefore, come and be able to say from our heart, I will go where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And she goes on to say, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. She looked forward. It wasn't her life. She was looking forward. She knew that she would have to die. And by the inference, therefore, she was happy to die with the same faith that Naomi had. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. A full commitment, wasn't it? Yes, there was no, well, I'll see how things work out. There was a full commitment to follow Naomi and to worship Naomi's God, the Lord God Almighty. Oh, my friends, these things dig deep, don't they? Into our hearts. But what a blessing if we are able to testify that you and I desire to follow the right way. This way that God ordained for Ruth. And again, come back to what we began with, the sovereign grace of God. Oh, there were many people in Moab. Just one, Ruth, was called. My friends, what a blessing it is if God has called you and me. Called you and me. Not because there's anything good in ourselves. In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And the Holy Spirit teaches us that's so true. But what a blessing it is if you and I possess the grace of God. And if we possess the grace of God, you know, we will possess the love of God. And be very clear about this. We're told in the Epistle of John, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. It's God's love to us first, which draws us in love to him. It's a good test again for our religion, to know whether we have experienced God's love. But if God has called you out of darkness into the glorious light of the gospel, it is because he's loved you. And if he's loved you, he's loved you so much that he was willing to pay the price to free you from that condemnation of sin, to remove it. Take it away so that you are complete in him. What a blessing, therefore, if the Lord Jesus Christ is therefore precious to you. What does Christ mean to you today? What does Christ mean to you today? Is he indeed the one thing needful? Do you desire Christ more than anything else? If you read through the fifth chapter in Song of Solomon, you'll see there that the bride of Christ, representing the child of God, she got lazy. She got in bed and didn't want to get up when the Lord came and knocked on the door. And she made all the excuses. And then when she decided she would get up, she went to the door, and the Lord had withdrawn himself and was gone. And that caused great consternation. And she went about the city and asking the church of God where her beloved was. And the question was put by the church of God to her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? If you read through that fifth chapter, you'll find that she gives a very good and adequate answer as to what her beloved meant to her. And it would be a great thing if the question is put to you and me, what is Christ to us more than everyone else? And it's good if you and I can give a good answer to that. I wonder if I was to say today, well, everyone write down an answer to that. Would you be able to? It may not be very long, but it would be a great blessing if you can. And come to that conclusion, which we read in that fifth chapter. He is altogether lovely. This is my friend, and this is my beloved, O daughters of Jerusalem, which are the church of God. You see, there was a good testimony. And what a mercy if it is in our lives. So it was in the life of Ruth. She was able to give a good testimony. And we should indeed be very, very thankful for that. And then we read, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. You and I, steadfastly minded to go with the church of God? Or are we happy to go on a Sunday and then back to the world on Monday? Here was this good lady, steadfastly minded to go with her. What a blessing if the work of the Holy Spirit in our soul makes us steadfastly minded to go with the church of God. To be a true follower of our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're told when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. Well, this is a lovely account. I hope you think it is. It's a simple account on the surface. It's much deeper underneath. But it's a great blessing if you and I can come in with Ruth as a fellow pilgrim and be able to confirm in answer to the question and come and say, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord dost do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Hyde will address the Sunday school this afternoon in the vestry at 2:30. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, followed by a church meeting. Mr. James Pack will preach for us on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day. And there'll be a brief meeting of the trustees, the existing trustees, on Tuesday evening after the preaching service. Our closing hymn is number 1044. 1044. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. Hymn 1044.
Now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.